We're going to be starting a new sermon series here tonight. And so I'd like you to take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 1. I anticipate us to be in this series for the next 5 years or so. But having finished our Sunday evening series, going through the book of 1 Thessalonians there, we're now going to be taking a look at the Psalms and going through each Psalm one at a time in order, verse by verse. And I'm going to be calling this series a call to worship, a call to worship. You see, the book of Psalms, some people refer to it as the Hebrew hymnal. They're written to be sung. And so much like our hymns today, though, Let's be clear, the ones that we sing are not inspired like the ones we find here in Scripture. But like the hymns we sing today, there is much that we can learn from God about life. We can learn about God, about life, and about godly living. All those, you can find those in the hymns that we sing. That's why periodically I'll encourage you, hey, pay attention to the words. Listen to what you're actually singing. But let's be honest, you got to be a little careful sometimes. What was that one that we sang this morning? Because He Lives. Great song. I love it. But that last verse, they mentioned, I'll cross the river. Hogwash. That makes some good songwriting, but that's not biblical. But be careful what you're singing. Not what you're singing. Be careful that you're paying attention to what you're singing. Because there is a lot of good things in there. And so, as we go ahead and get started tonight here in this new series in Psalms, I'd like to invite you to please stand with me in honor of the reading of God's Word and follow along with me as I read these six verses. Psalm chapter 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So the title of the message this evening is Ponder Your Path. Ponder your path. Think about where you're going. Think about the road you're traveling. It's stated in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 12, and actually again, verbatim in Proverbs 16, verse 25, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God really wants us to take seriously the path that we are on. Is it the path of life and blessing, or is it the path that leads to death and judgment? And yes, while their soul may be spared, a saved person can walk the path of death and judgment. So it would behoove us and to seriously consider the message of this psalm as well as the path that we are taking. And so I'm looking forward to explaining more about that here this evening. So may God bless the reading of His Word. You may be seated. The Christian life has often been compared to with taking a walk. We often refer to our spiritual life as our walk with God. So when someone asks you, hey, how's your walk with God? What they're wanting to know is how well have you been doing being faithful to the Scriptures? They want to know if there is anything hindering your prayer life. The psalmist, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, is presenting the reader with the way to receive the blessings of God upon their life. So next time you're asked, hey, how's your walk? With what you can learn here in this psalm, you'll be able to say, man, God is blessing. Let me tell you. And that's what we'll see here in our text. God is not going to shower His blessings upon us by accident. It's not going to just happen. You're actually going to need to be living a certain way. I can't be living any way that I want to, on a call it Christian liberty, and just expect the showers of God's blessings to be just pouring down on me. It doesn't work like that. That's actually how a Christian, while their soul is saved eternally, they can be on that path that leads to death and destruction and judgment. They're saved, but they're going along, but they're living any way that they want to. They're not going to be receiving the blessings of God. Rather, they'll be receiving the consequences of living in that lifestyle, in that way. So if you are truly desiring to have the blessing hand of God upon you, you will have to seriously reflect on the choices you've been making and ponder the path that you have been trotting. We see right off the bat what a blessed person is not doing. Blessed people do not surround themselves with ungodly influences. That's what we can see out of verse number one right there. Blessed people, they do not surround themselves with ungodly influences. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. The Bible teaches us that a person is blessed. He is happy if he keeps himself away from the ungodly lifestyle. The word walketh is used in the sense of to live or behave in a specified manner. So blessed or happy is the man that lives in a certain specified way or manner. Blessed is that man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So they are not walking in the way. They're not walking in the counsel of ungodly people. In fact, we see Solomon strongly urge his son in Proverbs chapter 4, verses 14 and 15, to enter not into the path of the wicked and go not in the way of evil men. Avoid it, pass not by it, turn from it, and pass away. In other words, Solomon, I can't say this enough. I can't emphasize it enough. Don't even go near it. Don't touch it with a 10-foot pole. Don't even look at it, lest you be tempted. Stay away. Do whatever you need to do to stay away from that type of lifestyle and those kind of people. But notice, it is the counsel of the ungodly that we are not to walk in. Now that makes sense. For what would someone who is not living for Christ know about living a life that would be honoring unto the Lord? That makes sense. What would they know? Why should we follow the counsel of ungodly people if they don't even know what it means to live for the Lord? We are also warned not to stand in the way of sinners. Now, the word picture in play here describes a group of people, sinners in this instance, whose lifestyle is characterized by a rebellion against God's divine word and the decision to not take a stand with them in their rebellion. So to not stand in the way of sinners, you see the path the sinners are on, and you're not going to go insert yourself right there in their path. Aha, I'm in the way of sinners. That's what the Bible's saying. No, don't do that, because now you're surrounded. You've surrounded yourself with that influence. The person who desires to be blessed of God is told to be aware of the path of sinners and the path that they are taking and to not stand in it. Let's be honest, the path of a sinner is a far cry from the path of God. And it is also ruled by the third group mentioned here in this verse. We are told that the blessed man is not going to be the one sitting in the seat of the scornful. Now, before I proceed to really talk about that part of the verse, you can see a progression here. You can see what's happening. You have the man who's supposed to be blessed. He's walking, and it says, and warns him to not walk in the way of the ungodly. Oh, let me make sure I'm saying it right. Walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So he's walking. He sees the ungodly, and he's, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. You see the progression here. He's walking along life's path, but then he starts to get enticed. He starts to see the temptation out there, and it distracts him. And he pauses to, that's shiny. Ooh, squirrel. He gets distracted. And then he sees the young godly lifestyle, and you know what it does? It appeals to the flesh. And so he's going to want to sit down and watch. Like, wow. It's like watching your favorite football team play the big game, or watching your favorite television show. It's the season finale, and you're just like, oh, I can't look away. You finally find yourself in this progression, and we get to the seat of the scornful. Now, someone who is scornful, they are a scoffer. They're a mocker. It's someone who jeers, mocks, or treats something with contempt, or who calls out derision, or calls out to it in derision. Have you ever been made fun of for your faith? Have you ever seen somebody comes up to you, and as soon as they find out you're a Christian, like, oh, you're one of those people. You're one of those Jesus freaks. You know, when I was doing my study, and I had this whole scene playing out in my mind, being called, oh, you're one of those Jesus freaks. You know, in Acts chapter 11, verse 26, the Bible says that the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. And even the name Baptist was not chosen by us, but rather it was given to us by, as a term of derision, by our enemies. They call us Anabaptists, and it's been shortened to just Baptists. So who knows? Maybe in the future we'll become to be known as the Centralia Jesus Freak Church. Just kidding. But all I'm trying to say is we, as Bible-believing Christians, from the very beginning, people I've been trying to make fun of, to jeer, to mock, to scoff, to throw scorn on us because we want to hold true to what the Word of God teaches and what the Bible says. Now, as I mentioned before, the Christian life is compared to a walk. It begins with a step of faith and trust in Christ, and it grows as we take further steps of faith in obedience to His Word. Walking involves progress, unless you're on a treadmill. If you're walking, you are making progress. You are making advances. And Christians are to make progress in applying Bible truths to their lives. If you're doing your Bible reading and you're faithful in it, every year by year, you read through your Bible, but yet your Christian walk looks something like this, that means you're not applying what you're reading. That means you're not taking to heart the Word of God. But as you start reading, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Wow, you know, I've been listening to a lot of ungodly influences. I better cut that out of my life. So I'm going to cut that out. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. Man, I can see a lot of areas where I'm doing that. Let me cut that out too. You see, you start making advances. You start making progress in your walk with Christ. But it is possible for the believer to walk in the darkness outside of the will of God. As I mentioned at the very beginning, it is possible for a believer to find themselves trotting down the path that leads to darkness. Have you ever gotten bitter about something? Have you ever gotten mad? Have you ever fallen into sin? Have you ever let that sin consume you? Man, it's not a good place to be, is it? It's not a fun place to be, but you know what? You're on that path of darkness. But as a believer, you have an exit ramp. You have a way off of that path. Well, let's be honest, so does the non-believer. They've got to place their faith in Christ. We all have an exit ramp off of that path of darkness, but far too often, we get all, I messed up. And we just put on our blinders, and we put on our tunnel vision, and we don't even look at that exit ramp. And we feel like we are going to punish ourselves for our bad decisions and just suck it up and take our lumps and just keep going down that path that leads to destruction when all it takes is for us just to humble ourselves before the Lord and say, God, I'm a doofus. I messed up. I've been trying to do this in my own power and I am failing miserably. Look where I am, Lord. Help me. Once you get to that point, wow. It's almost like God just comes down there and just yanks you right off of that path. Come here, son. Come here, daughter. Let's get you on the right path again. Yeah, you know, you got a little dirty on that one. Let's brush you off. Let's come on. Might give you a little slap on the rear end for being so dumb. He's like, all right, you're good to go. Now let's get you walking on the path of lightness, a light again. The people God blesses are careful in their walk. Though they are in the world, they are not of the world. Now, by contrast, it takes very little imagination to see the person walking near sin, then standing to consider it, and finally sitting down to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Why does that take little imagination to see that? Because we've all been there. If Christians start listening to the counsel of the ungodly, they will soon be standing in their way of life, in the ungodly way of life, and finally will sit down and agree with them. That's the progression the psalmist is trying to warn us about. Who do you go to for direction, for advice about life? Do you go to your secular teachers? Do you go to your ungodly peers and friends? Do you go to self-help books and podcasts? Do you go to people who are not living in obedience to God themselves, though they may be Christians? Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Seek out direction in life's problems and journey from people who will help steer you down the path of righteousness and not further down the path of sinners. People are blessed when they do not surround themselves with ungodly influences. Also, blessed people love God's word. You want to be blessed? Love this book. Love this book. Those whom God blesses are not delighted with what pertains to sin and the world. They delight in the word of God. Here's a quick test to see if you delight, if you love the word of God. Would you rather sit down and read this book for an hour or turn on your favorite TV program or your favorite movie or your favorite series? Which one would you rather do? That's an easy test to see, do you really love this book? And what if the answer was, I really wanted to watch that TV series, I really wanted to watch that movie? Well, say, Lord, I apparently don't love your word as much as I ought to. Help me to love it more. Help me to love this book, Lord. Help me to desire this, your word, above everything else. It is love for and obedience to the Bible that brings blessings to our life. The people God blesses not only read the word daily, but they study it, and they, I'm about to say the bad M word, they memorize it and meditate on it during the day and night. They do it so much that their mind is like it's controlled by the word of God. Because of this, they are led by the Spirit and they walk in the Spirit. Meditation, it has been said, is to the soul what digestion is to the body. Not to go into any details, we all know how digestion works. The food goes in, it sits around for a little bit, it pulls out all the good stuff and gets rid of the bad. Meditation on God's word. I am not talking about empty my mind of all negative things. No, nonsense. I'm not talking about that kind of meditation. I'm talking about biblical meditation. Not emptying your mind of everything, but rather filling your mind with the Word of God and chewing on it, thinking about it, mulling it over, pondering the Word of God and what it means. Like, why did God say that? What do I need to learn about God from this text? What does this text tell me about myself? Taking the time to really just chew on the Word of God. That is what meditation is, and applying it to our lives and making it a part of our inner person. That's how much we ingest it. Now, far too often, when I challenge people to memorize Bible verses, I hear the following. I'm too old and my memory is not what it used to be. I don't have that kind of time. And that's not really my thing. That's a hard thing to ask and expect. Now, I am going to say this with love. But I'm also going to shoot straight, okay? So I'm warning you now. I'm going to shoot straight with you, but hey, it's because I love you. Those are just a bunch of excuses. That's what they are. They are excuses. Because don't you think God is aware what you are and what you are not capable of? Let's ask ourselves that question. Do you really believe that God is aware of what you are and what you are not capable of? And I believe you can answer truthfully that yes, God is very much aware of that. And if you were incapable of memorizing verses of Scripture, do you honestly believe then that God would ask that of you to do? I believe the answer to that is no. If God knows we can't do something, He's not going to ask us to do it. And so the fact of the matter is that memorizing Scriptures, it takes work. Yes, it is hard sometimes, especially when you want to memorize those really big chunks. But you know what encourages me? We did it, I think it was last summer, we did a little program called Wise Guys. And we had the little kids, Charlotte's age up to, I think it was like the 12-year-olds, and they were memorizing the first half of Proverbs chapter 3. You know what? By the end of that summer, they had it. They could quote it. Now, I don't know if they could do it anymore just because, you know, when you don't keep something fresh in your mind, you kind of forget a little bit. But I bet you they get the gist of it. I bet you they could at least get a rough version out. But what I'm trying to say is that memorizing Scripture, yes, I get it. It does take work. And if we're going to be honest with ourselves, we're just lazy. We don't want to put in the effort. Now, I'm not trying to chastise anyone. That is not what I'm trying to do. But if this has been your attitude, I simply want to encourage you to call a spade, and maybe just change the way that you think about Bible memorization. God blesses the person who is saturated in His Word. It shouldn't be a pill to just, I'm going to memorize Psalm chapter 1, verse 1. That shouldn't be a hard thing for someone to ask. I'm not asking you to do that. I'm just throwing an example out there. Don't be afraid when someone says, hey, let's memorize some Bible. Challenge accepted. That's like telling me I can't do something. Oh, that was a mistake. I guess now I'm going to try to prove you're wrong. God blesses the person who is fully just invested and saturated in His Word. Look at verse 3. To what is promised to those who delight in God's Word. The Bible says that that person, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Well, that just sounds miserable, doesn't it? Of course not. That sounds wonderful. Who would not want that to be describing their life? The Christian is here compared to a tree that gets its water from the deep hidden springs under the dry sands. This world is a desert that can never satisfy the dedicated believer. If you truly are a dedicated believer of Christ, you are not going to be satisfied with what this world has to offer. We must send our spiritual roots, if you will, to kind of carry this word picture along. We must send our spiritual roots down deep. Send them down deep into the things of Christ and draw upon the spiritual water of life. I'm pretty sure the Bible references this. We must be rooted in Christ. Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 7 and 8 says, "Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. For he shall be as a tree planted by the waters, and that spreadeth out her roots by the river, and shall not see when heat cometh. But her leaf shall be green, and shall not be careful in the year of drought, neither shall cease from yielding fruit." You know, there's going to be seasons in our life when things in this world are not going the way we really wish they would. maybe you're set on bad economic times, or maybe you're just hitting one roadblock after another roadblock. You feel like you've hit a drought in your life, but if your spiritual roots are down deep, you are being sustained. You are receiving the water that you need to keep you spiritually satisfied. And it says there in Jeremiah, your leaf is still going to be green. You're not getting any help from the world, but hey, your leaf is staying green. You're still yielding your fruit. You're still producing. In other words, there can be no fruit without roots. If you're not rooted in Christ, you're not going to be able to produce spiritual fruit. Too many Christians are more concerned about the leaves and the fruit than they are the roots. But the roots are the most important part. Oh, yeah, we want to be sure that we look like we're the best Christian in the world, but we are more concerned about the appearance than the reality. You know, I would much rather look like I don't have everything together if that means that I'm just being genuine and I'm trying my best to live for God, than looking like, oh, I am the best Christian in the world. I've got a nice suit, I've got a tie, I got shoes. I don't have slick hair at the moment. Ignore that. I got a flashy smile. Putting on the look of looking like a primo Christian. I say all the right things. But inside, I know it's all fake. I'm just putting on a show for everyone else because that's what I crave. I'd rather you think that I'm a good Christian. That's wrong. That's not where we ought to be. Unless Christians spend time daily in prayer and the Word and allow the Spirit to feed them, they are going to wither and die. The believer who draws upon the spiritual life in Christ will be fruitful and successful in life and in the life of faith. When Christians cease to bear fruit, it is because something has happened to their roots. When you're not seeing spiritual fruit in your life, if you're not enjoying the fruit of the Spirit in your life, the love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, when you're not seeing the fruit of the Spirit in your life, if you don't have a passion to win souls to Christ, if you don't have much to show for your walk with God, could it possibly be that your roots are not as deep as they ought to be? If that's so, the remedy is quite simple. Submit yourself to the Lord and His ways, study and obey His word, and pray. That is how you get your roots to really go down deep. Have you ever tried to pull up a plant and you just can't? And finally, you get like the big stuff, you really pull it out and you get it up out of the ground and you look and the plant's only like this big. But then you see the root, it's like down that far and like all spread out. That's why you couldn't get it out, because it was firmly rooted into the ground. Our faith needs to be that firmly rooted in God's word and in Christ. If you want to be blessed, if you want to be truly happy in life, you need to avoid ungodly influences and delight in God's word. Now, it may be difficult at times, but it is far better than the alternative. That's what we see here in the last half of this chapter. Ungodly living faces the judgment of God. Verses 4 through 6. The ungodly, those living in defiance to God, do not get to enjoy the blessings that God has for those who love and obey Him. Seems pretty obvious, no? The ungodly are portrayed in this psalm as being unprofitable, worthless, of absolutely no value. When you consider their ways, the end thereof being death, that seems like a pretty fair comparison. The Bible says that they are like the chaff, the worthless husk of material that surrounds the ripe seed of the plant. The chaff is basically when they go to thresh the wheat or the grain, they would throw it up and it was so light and worthless, the wind, a slight breeze would carry it away and separate it out. When it comes time for judgment, the ungodly and the sinners are going to be like that chaff. They're not going to stand in the time of judgment, and they will meet their end. Why are the ungodly lost? Because they will not submit to Christ and His Word. That's the only reason they're lost. If they would but submit to Christ and His Word, they would no longer be lost. They would be found. They would be saved. And ultimately, that should be our heart's desire, is to see, hey, wake up, lost person. You don't have to end this way. There's another way. There's still time. There's still a chance. And that ought to be our desire and our goal and what we should be trying to do. But in the very end, if they do not wake up, the only reason they are lost is because they refused to submit to Christ and His ways. They prefer the counsel of the ungodly to the whole counsel of God in the Word. They prefer the friendship of godless people to the congregation of the righteous. They spend their days thinking about sin, not about the Word of God. They think they are secure in the earth, but they are only chaff. If you have never taken that step of faith and trusted Jesus Christ alone for your salvation, pay attention. God is plainly spelling out your future. He's not doing this because He's this sadistic God that takes pleasure in the destruction of sinners. No, not at all. But rather, He loves you so much that He's trying to warn you to wake up to reality. This is what's going to happen. Reality is that you are a sinner. You can't help it. It's in your very nature. You're not a sinner because you've sinned. You sin because you're a sinner. It's our nature to do that. And reality is that God is holy, and therefore He must judge sin. Now, if everything just stopped there, our future would be very bleak. It would not be a very hopeful future for us, but praise God that He is also loving. Praise God, His mercies are new every morning. Reality is that in order to provide you a way to be forgiven, He sent His only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, to die in your place. Jesus took your sins upon Him when He went to the cross, and He buried them with Him when He was in that tomb. You know, just like we're encouraged to do when we go to an altar, you lay your burden there before the Lord, and then you leave it there. When you walk away, you leave that burden there. You don't pick it back up. When Jesus went to that tomb, and He took all your sins with Him, guess what? He left them there. He didn't pick them back up and carry them out. Oh, here you go. You can have them back now. He left them there, forever dealt with. After 3 days, Jesus rose victorious from the grave, having conquered death and the grave. And because He lives, there's that song right there, because He lives and because of what He did, He has the authority and He has the power to offer you forgiveness for your sins, a full pardon. All you have to do, the only thing you have to do, is believe in your heart that Jesus is the Christ. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10, very familiar verse to us, says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if you want to live a life that has the hand of God's blessing upon it, you're going to have to give your life to Christ. God's Word is clearly spelling out how we can be blessed by God, because that is what God wants to do. He wants to bless us. So make sure you are on the path of blessing. So for the person who was not saved here tonight, the person who does not know for sure that when they die, heaven will be their eternal home, the message for you tonight is to, hey, look at that last half of the verse, of the passage there. That's your future. Unless you repent and call on Christ to save you, that will be your end. But for the believer who's here this evening, this first half of the verse, this is the condition for blessing. Stay away from these things. Stay away from the influence of ungodly people and ungodly influences. And then you will be able to have the hand of God and His blessing upon you. But believer, tonight, maybe you find yourself, you know what, preacher? I do surround myself with ungodly people. I do surround myself with ungodly influences. I allow those influences to influence me, to do things that I know aren't right. Well, hey, well then the message for you here tonight is stop. Get that right now. I'm trying to take those blinders off, trying to get you out of your tunnel vision. You're on this path of judgment. Look here. Here's your escape ramp. This is it. Take that path. Don't continue down that any further. It only is going to end in destruction. It's going to end in hurt. It's going to end in heartache. Nothing good will come out of it. But if you get off that path now, if you just humble yourself and admit to God, I'm a doofus. Lord, I've sinned. You've saved me, but I'm still a sinner in here, and I messed up big time, God. But you know what? I don't want to keep messing it up. I don't want to keep going down this road. I want to get off this road. I hate this road. Humble your heart and get on your knees before God and just pour it out and give it to Him, and God will take that burden off of you. And He will help you through that life situation that you're dealing with right now. You know, one of the, not the best part about it, but a good part about it is you're not going to be alone. You're going to have support. You're going to have the Holy Spirit with you every single step of the way. And you got people right here, right now, that will pray for you every moment of the day, that God will help you and get you out of that place. There's a wonderful prayer network of support here. Don't let that go to waste. Make sure you're on the path of blessing and not the path of judgment. Ponder your path. Consider it. And make some adjustments if necessary. I'm going to go ahead and ask the musicians if you'll come. We'll have a time of invitation. If you need to do business with God, I highly encourage you. Swallow any pride you might have. Humble your heart and just come get on your knees before the Lord and give that problem to Him. And then you're going to walk away from that burden. It's going to feel a million times lighter because the burden of Christ is light. And He's going to help you carry that burden. It won't be just you anymore. It'll be you and Christ carrying that burden. So give it to God. As the music begins to play, let's all stand as we have a time of invitation.